Well, God bless you. Get your Bibles out. Hey, a couple announcements real quick. We're going to change the podcast time starting next week to 9 a.m. We're going to get 30 minutes earlier. I just think that would be better for a lot of people. So for now on, it'll be on Tuesday mornings, 9 a.m. Here on YouTube. And also, we're going to go on to the Facebook platform. And then we have our new church services, two services this Sunday, the 11th, February the 11th, which is this Sunday. New Way Church, Palm Coast, Florida, goes to two church services, 8:30 and 11 o'clock. Getting one of these services, getting both of these services, I don't know. I don't care which one you get into, but get into one. We are in a revival-type spirit setting here at New Way Church. Miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. People are getting filled with Jesus, saved by grace, filled with the Holy Spirit every week. Prayers happening. Lives are being changed. Get into these services. Don't forget, mark your calendar, February the 11th, New Way Church, Palm Coast, Florida, two services, 8:30 and 11. Amen. Well, what do we have for today? I want to get into this. I'm going to really deal with, probably for the next five sessions together, faith, the subject of faith. But I want to start today on the subject of, or the topic of, the substance of faith. And here's what I want to accomplish in these next weeks together. How simple it is to believe God and to see the reward of faith. How simple it is. On my way in, I did a Facebook video, and I was thinking about, we've made faith really difficult. And I don't know if we've tried to capitalize as preachers, as churches, on faith, like we have something to do with faith beyond conveying the truth of God's word. Or maybe we've tried to make it difficult so that we have a part in it, or the world needs us. The world needs us. People need us. However, we're not the controller. We're not the one that bring faith to fruition. It's not our word on the line. It's God's word on the line. It's not our proven word. It's God's proven word. So let's look at this now, starting in Hebrews 11, 1. This will be our text for the next few weeks. I'll read it out of a couple different versions. The first version is the Amplified. Or actually, let's go King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. So write on your notes, faith has actual substance. There is a substance to faith. I think a lot of times people think faith is imaginary. People think faith is miraculous in the sense, it is miraculous, but miraculous in the sense of like magical. Like it exists afar off, but it doesn't have presence here on earth. That's not the truth. That's far from the truth. The word substance means, the modern day term for the word substance means real physical matter. So it has tangible presence. It's touchable in its earth state. We just pull it from heaven into earth. Now we got to see here. Let's see what it says. Hebrews 11:1, the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the convictions of the reality. Faith comprehends as fact what we cannot be, what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Now, we all have to agree on this, that at one point in time, faith has to come from the invisible realm to the visible realm. If faith stays in the invisible realm, it is no help to us at all. God intended for faith to be manifested in the visible realm. We can see, if we drop down to the third verse here, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. All right, so by faith, once again, the substance of faith, we see that worlds, what world? Well, the world in which we live in, were framed by the words of God. So God created or set a creation standard. God set the parameters of how a new creation, a Christian, would bring God's creative ability into manifestation. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen We're not made of things which do appear. All right, let's hold your thought there for a second. Let's just go through some scripture and lay a foundation. Go into 2 Corinthians. We'll get through this this foundational truth concerning faith, the substance of faith today. We'll lay it today. Good. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, that doesn't mean that the things that are not seen stay in the unseen realm. They're going to manifest in the seen realm. That's a part of the operation of faith. But let's look at the first, how do we grab a hold of, how do we put faith in something that's not seen? Let's deal with that first. Now, God deals with us, and the way God deals with us, according to the scriptures, is by word, logos, and that word creates an understanding, or rather an idea. So God deals with us in ideas. God's conveying ideas to us constantly throughout the day in hopes that we'd capture that idea and we'd begin to meditate that idea into our personal reality realm. So let's just say, you need healing in your body. Let's just say that I'm dealing with a little aggravating cough throat thing for like a month now, and I started meditating this scripture for today, and the Lord said, "Why don't you do this for your little cough thing?" And so I begin to do what I'm telling you. I know to do it, but sometimes life just gets too busy. You know, we forget the simple things of God. Number one, no matter what you're believing God for, you have to first take time to get biblical evidence of. No matter what it is, whatever you believe God to be, God to do, whatever you believe to manifest from the unseen realm to the seen realm, you first have to prove its existence or prove that it's for you and it's for today. Now, you can't do that without the Bible. You can't understand what God has for you unless you search the Word. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for you. Amen. You got to search the Word of God, and you got to find out what's available unto you. So if we're dealing with sickness, I don't want to give you permission to Google teaching on sickness or health or healing in the biblical sense, but I'll say this to you. You can Google healing scriptures. You can Google like, what are some healing scriptures, or what are all the healing scriptures or healing scriptures? And then I'd take all those healing scriptures, I'd print them, I'd write them down, and I'd begin to meditate those healing scriptures. What are we doing? We're accepting, we're in the stage of the valley of a decision, of opinion, where we're deciding whether or not we're going to believe God's word. But we can't believe without the word. The Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." There's several parts of faith that cause faith to work in its full capacity. The first part is gaining knowledge, information, God information. All right, maybe healing's easy to you. Maybe let's say it seems like a popular thing these days with the younger generation is a house. You know, I want to get married. I want to buy a house. I want to provide for my family. Well, all right, let's do this then. Let's, number one, understand. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. This is a dynamic scripture for this. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 9th verse, and 9 to 13. "But as it is written, I have not seen nor heard or entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him," right there under that scripture, twofold, "in this life and the life to come." All right? So God has things that you have not comprehended or can't comprehend yet, the things that God has available to you in the future. "But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit." All right? So God brings supernatural, the revelation of the unseen realm to you, but not to your mind, to your spirit. That's the inner man. The Bible talks about the inner man. Maybe I'll do it after we get done with faith, we'll deal with the inner man. But that would be your will, your made up mind, your will, your convictions. That's your spirit. That's your inner man. It's the voice on the inside that's conveying to you information from the Holy Spirit. It's the voice on the inside of you. If it's a faint voice, you haven't taken time to explore and to learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit yet. But he's the one telling you of supernatural things, of supernatural abilities, of miracle signs and wonders. That happens in the inner man, not the outer man or not the brain of a man. So he goes on here and he says, the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knows, he knows by man or the things of man. So the information you're talking about, once again, let's talk about a house. You want to buy a house. Let's say a house is worth $500,000 in Florida, an average house, and you don't make enough money to buy that house. So now everything inside of you is going to say, Pastor, this is crazy what you're saying. Well, let me help you. You can only take you as far as man's ability, man's knowledge. But as a new believer, a Christian, you become a new person. You now have the operation of heaven, the supernatural operation of heaven, where heaven comes on the scene and messes all the laws of earth, all the natural math laws. Everything you've learned naturally is extremely limited in the sight of heaven. So when heaven comes on the scene, everything changes. You can't compute heavenly things in a natural mindset. It's impossible to do it. And that's what Paul's saying here, is he's saying, for what man knoweth, once verse 11, what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So once again, man is limited by the knowledge man learns on the earth and through universities, schools, education. That's man's highest level of knowledge, except, oh, come on, woo, except heaven comes on the scene. Now, when heaven comes on the scene, it begins to bend and stretch and challenge your knowledge that you received without God, because the knowledge of heaven, the knowledge of God, is superior to the knowledge of man, humanity, and it takes you beyond. The information of God, God ability, what God wants to do, what God can do, what God has already done, goes way beyond. It's extremely superior to the limitations of man and goes way beyond humanity. But you can't understand that or perceive that in your natural way of thinking. You've got to perceive that in the spirit. You've got to understand that in the spirit. Well, the word of God not only is natural and tangible, but it's spiritual. The Bible information, when you read the Bible, it's not limited to just information like an earthly book. It's spirit-breathed. It's God-breathed. It's a living book. It's alive. The information in God's word is alive. And it does things beyond from a different power. It's got a greater source. It produces beyond what earth things can produce. So let's look at the 12th verse. Now we have not received the spirit of the world. So why did we limit ourselves to the spirit of the world? Spirit of the world says you want to buy $500,000 house, you're going to have to make about $750,000 a year. Would that be accurate, Dylan, somewhere around there? Or let's just say this, because we're debt maniacs on earth. You want to buy a $500,000 house, you got to make $300,000. That'd probably be the right calculation. Well, I don't make $300. I don't know how I'm going to make $300. Okay, so why don't we begin to build faith? Why don't we bring faith on the scene in where you come to an end, like where all of your ability ends, faith there begins. So why not just say, all right, I can't afford it, but God can. All right, I can't pay it off, but God can. Why don't we just trust God at his word? He said in Malachi concerning the tithe and the offering or the blessing or to enrich you, that if you tithe and offer, he'll allow you to live under the open window of heaven and pour out a blessing. The blessing makes you rich, that you're not going to have room enough to receive. And then he says, prove me concerning it, or I'm not afraid. I give you a challenge. Do what I tell you, and I'll show you the result of it. So why don't we pull up? Hey, those of you that have houses, why don't you name your house? Let's just name our house. Paid for in full by God house. My house is a paid for in full by God. You say, Pastor, that's so ridiculous. That's so far-fetched. Nah, not to people of faith, it's not. All right. Give us a scripture. Romans 4:17. Abraham, far-fetched, is a 100-year-old couple having a baby. That's far-fetched. That's more far-fetched than God paying off a house supernaturally to me. He said, Sarah's womb's dusty dry. It can't produce nothing. There's no, I don't even know if she had, I mean, I'm, you know, growing it a little bit. Sarah doesn't even have a womb. She's so old. And then Abraham said, my God, I don't even know if I work. You know, my stuff works. But they brought God on the scene. And when God comes on the scene, the supernatural, superior to natural, above natural, things begin to take place. So the deadness of Sarah's womb didn't apply any longer. The age of Abraham's, you know, business didn't apply any longer. Come on. Everything became new. There was a supernatural process of rejuvenation where old things became new. And the Bible says that Abraham called things that be not. All right, if your house isn't paid for, you don't call it not paid for house. According to the scripture, when you put faith in God, you pull up to your house every day and say, hello, this is what you do every day now. Hell, if you believe God can do it, if you believe God can, by help from heaven and the ability of heaven, bring the unseen realm to earth, you then start calling your house. You beep the horn. When you pull up, you beep the horn and you wave at your house and say, hey, hello, paid for house in full. Hello, look at my paid for house in full. You bring a couple, a family over to your house for dinner. Say, look at that house, paid for in full. And when they say, oh, is it really? Don't say, oh, no, I'm just in faith. No. Faith is substantial before you see it. Faith has substance before you see it. So is it really paid for? Oh, yeah, it's paid for. It's paid for by the blood of Jesus. It's paid for by the word of God. You're looking at it paid for a house. I owe no man nothing but to love him. That house is paid for, been paid for by the supernatural ability of God. Say hello to my paid for house. That's under conviction. That's where faith has got to get into your conviction, your will, your emotions. If you don't have a house, get a picture of a house. Now, if it's hard for you to believe for a $500,000 house, don't go get a picture of a $10 million house. Get a $500,000 house first. If it's hard to believe for a $500,000 house, find one for $400,000. But find something that's beyond your ability. Because if you find something within your ability, you're not operating in faith. There's no substance of the kingdom of God coming to help you. But then if you do, you go look at that house. And you begin to speak numbers. You begin to call in money. Lord, I need $20,000. If you're a first-time buyer, I don't know what it is, percentage. If you're not, you need $50,000 to close that thing. You need $100,000. Lord, I pray favor with the banks. I pray, Lord, you fix my credit. You teach me how to be responsible with money. You impart to me supernatural information concerning finances, Lord. Show me things. Begin to learn natural finances. And then you call in that money. I need $20,000. I call in $20,000. I call things that be not as though they were. I do it Abraham. I call it in. I call it in. I call it in. Go to the bank. Call in supernatural interest rates. Call it in. You say, well, it's set across. I don't care. Listen, nothing's higher than the authority of God's word. God can reset it just for you. And you get there in that closing, and then you tell them, oh, it's not going to take me 30 years. I pay this thing off by way of faith. And then you obtain things by way of faith. But until you gain information and begin to create a substance on the inside of you of faith in the invisible, it has to become real to you in the unseen realm first. I said on Sunday, I was talking about the seed always belongs to God. The fruit is yours. So you can't touch the seed and think that you're going to have faith appear and become substantial to you if you're eating a seed. That belongs to God. You can't touch the seed. Our job is to take a shell in this part of faith. I'm almost done now. Pay attention. Our job is to take a shell. Let's say we take God gives us an empty walnut shell and says, all right, you fill it full of what you want. I say a walnut shell so you can get an idea. A capsule, a carrier. Let's just say God gives you some kind of carrier that's a baseball size, and you open it up and it's empty. And God says, now get in my word, find out who I am, what I can do concerning any matter, and pack that shell full. And you begin to put the scripture, I know God is my healer. God can heal disease. God can heal sickness. God can heal. God's the healer. Jesus is the healer by his stripes. And you begin to pack that shell, that baseball sized shell, full of who God is, full of what he's already done, full of God's faithfulness, full of God's goodness. And after you pack that seed full, the packing of that seed is you becoming pregnant with the word. Say it again. The packing of that seed is you conceiving of the word. I have conception. There's conceiving. There's transmission of the word of God. And then the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom works like this. It's as a man should take what he became pregnant with. Well, you pack that seed with healing scriptures. You pack that shell with Jesus can buy me a house. God can help me get a house. God can pay my house off. And once you become pregnant with it, you sow that seed into the what you think is the void of space, but molecules become soil for faith-filled words. The molecules of air become the richest soil in man's knowledge, in the natural ability. And as I sow that seed that I packed on the inside, and it breaks the shadow of my mouth, and it hits the void of space, space surrounds it like soil and begins to produce what's on the inside, or peel the shell away to get access to grow what's on the inside. The Bible says in Mark 4, the kingdom works like this. As a man should sow seed, he goes to bed night and day. He doesn't leave the conditions in which he sowed the seed. And the seed begins to go to work. First, it talks about a sprout, then the ear, then the corn in the ear, and he doesn't know how. The man doesn't know how. God knows how, and the reason man doesn't know how, because man's business is to sow the seed. God's business is to cause the seed to become fruit. God works with seed. Man deals with fruit. You can't produce a seed into a fruit concerning spiritual matters. That's why if you'll take time to create a seed and you never sow it, it can't become what God intended it to be, because it can only grow when it goes into God's hand. It can only go when you entrust it to God. Then the Bible says he brings forth the harvest, and then it's our job to bring the sickle, another operation of faith, and to receive the harvest of God, the fruit. Come on now, there's substance in faith. This is actual reality. This is not, make-believe stuff. This is supernatural ability. Faith is the supernatural ability of God in operation in your life. We're out of time. Don't forget next week. Share this. Get this word out. And then we're going to build upon this, the substance of faith. I sure love you. I thank God for you. Only believe. Promises. We're standing on his promises.